Good morning and welcome to Breakout Radio Church. Yeah, that's Breakout Radio Church. I'm Delvin Kinser, and my wife Rhonda Kinser is with us today. We are filling in for Pastor Dale and Sister Jean on this beautiful July summer hot morning. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Delvin. We're so glad to be here with you today. And we are excited about the word of the Lord today. And we're excited that Pastor Dale has confidence in us to fill his shoes.
That's right. That's right. I tell you what, it is going to be an exciting day today here on BPNRadio.com and Breakout Radio Church. You know, Pastor Dale and Sister Jean have been taking some time off, but you know what? They're going to be back next week. And we'll hear another great word from him. Remember, we are a global church without walls, comprised of members in many different geographical locations across America and around the globe, responding to Jesus' command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. We are a house of prayer for all nations. Amen. And this service will be repeated at 10 a.m. Central Time here on bpnradio.com. We're delighted that you are with us today. Now, in a few minutes, Rhonda's going to be bringing the word. First, though, we're going to pray and start the service with some praise and worship. It's going to be awesome. Let's pray, Rhonda. Father, we thank you for this wonderful, beautiful day you've given us to serve you and to worship you and to lift your name. God, we pray for this service this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit's presence will be here. The word that will come forth will be just what we need to hear today. And Lord, we pray for those who are listening today. Maybe they've landed on bpnradio.com today. It's a divine appointment for them today to come here and hear your word. Lord, reach them by your Spirit today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to start with some praise and worship. I love this song, Reckless Love. Corey Asbury, let's worship him this morning, church.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You've been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. Leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away.
Hallelujah, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Glory to his name. Thank you, Lord, for that love that didn't stop, never stops, and will never stop. Hallelujah. God is so good. This is Delvin Kintzer. My wife and I, Rhonda Kintzer, here filling in today on Breakout Radio Church. We're so glad you joined us this morning, church family. This is going to be an exciting day as we hear from the Word of the Lord today and as we continue just to worship and praise his name. Now, if you tune in to Breakout Radio Church and nothing else, you might not know who we are. Let me tell you who we are. Delvin and Rhonda Kintzer, we live in Liberal, Kansas. In fact, we're bringing you a Breakout Radio Church today from our studios in Liberal, Kansas, in the far southwest corner of that state. Rhonda is the host of Intercession Friday, every Friday at 10 a.m. And then throughout the day, you can hear Intercession Friday here with Rhonda as she prays for the needs of folks. And we lift up the needs of the nation and the world. And that's fun. That's a fun thing to do every Friday, isn't it, honey?
It's very engaging. And so it is a blessing to be able to pray the prayer of agreement with people.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And then I'm also the news director for the Breakout Prayer Network, bpnradio.com. I bring the news to you every day. So we're just excited to be here on Breakout Radio Church. It's the first time we've been able to be a part of this service other than being a participant listening.
Yes, we listen every morning, and we're associate pastors at a local church here in town. But in the morning when we're getting up and getting around, at 8 o'clock, I'm putting my makeup on, and I've got BPN Radio Church, Breakout Church, and we're listening to a word before we go to church to hear a word again.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we're so glad you joined us today. We're going to worship some more here. This is a wonderful song, I Am Found, I Am Free. Aren't you glad you're free today if you know Jesus? Amen. And he found you. Glory to his name.
And this is by Gateway.
Let's just worship together today.
Here looking out on the horizon, I can't believe that you would stop and think of me. Caught in the wonder, nothing like these. Seeing your beauty, oh, I just can't take it in. In the light of your mercy, in the clouds of your glory, in your presence, I am worthy, I am found, I am free. All of them is around me, I hear your voice overwhelming. Your presence, I am worthy, I am found, I am free. And never the same, now that you've got me, this is a love I don't deserve.
Praise the Lord. We lift our hands to you, Lord, today. We seek you today, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. God is so good. What a wonderful time to worship him. Any time is a great time to worship the Lord. And we're glad that you joined us for Breakout Radio Church today. We've got a special message that we want to share with you today. And Rhonda is coming now to talk about what God has placed on her heart to share with you. Rhonda.
Good morning, everyone. I just love working with the Holy Ghost. That's one of the reasons why I have so enjoyed working with Pastor Dale and Gene and knowing them for more than a decade, because he loves to work with the Holy Ghost. And so I love how the Lord puts people together, divine appointments and divine connections. And so I just want to say again, it's an honor to sit in this morning to fill the shoes of Pastor Dale. And I'll just be honest with you, I'm just a little bit nervous. And so I'm used to my Friday show, but the Lord has given me a word. And so we're going to preach with boldness and with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. This week, in the evenings, there's been a camp meeting going on in a local community about an hour and 20 minutes from us, Laverne, Oklahoma. It is a camp meeting for the Apostolic Faith denomination, where my husband actually went to Bible school through the Apostolic Faith years ago. And so they were having camp meeting, and a lot of people that he went to Bible school with and his dad went to Bible school with come together, and they have this week of meetings. And so Devin went over a couple of nights and with his dad and our son. And then on Saturday morning, I had felt like the Lord said, I want you to get up and go and hear this lady speak. I hadn't been able to attend the rest of the meetings, and I didn't even know who this lady was. But when I was looking at the schedule on Tuesday, I just felt really strong in my heart to go on Saturday morning and hear her. So Friday night, I told Delvin, hey, what do you think if we got up in the morning and drove over and listened to Darla speak and then have lunch with everyone and come home? And so that's what we did. And because of that, the Lord really ministered into my heart some things that I needed to hear. And so I'm going to share with you one part of what she said, because whenever I was thinking about this morning and what the Lord wanted me to share with you, one part of what she said really stuck out to me. And so if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse 13. And it's a very familiar passage, and it talks about how we are salt and how we are light. And the word that I want to bring to you today, I don't have a title for it because I don't know how to title it, but the word that's in my heart is, we're living in a world, and there are a lot of hurting people. There are a lot of people that their lives are filled with sin. Their lives are filled with shame. Their lives are filled with guilt. And a lot of times these people who are living in deep darkness, I have seen, I've walked with the Lord for over 30 years, but I've seen at times the tendency of the church to be kind of intimidated at times about certain people groups. People who are really different than us, and we're going to by identifying them with their sin, because we know that we are all equal in God's eyes. But sometimes we just look at different people with different sins, and we think, "Oh, that's a really hard sin. I don't know if I can tackle that because that's too great for me to minister to that person." And so we're going to talk about, because I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I know that most of you who are listening are pastors or people who have served the Lord for a while. But I feel like the Lord wants us to take some things into consideration this morning. So Matthew 5:13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You're the light of the world, a city set on a hill. It cannot be hidden. nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but he puts it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And she spoke on this just toward the end, and she made this comment about the light. And she said, you know, the Lord had really been dealing with her about what kind of light that she was putting off. And she said, you know, sometimes as Christians, we can put off such a bright light that's such a stark contrast that it's almost kind of like a blinding light whenever we come across those that do not believe in Jesus Christ. Because either out of zeal or out of maybe a lack of empathy or a lack of total compassion for certain people groups, that our light to them seems like it's almost like a blinding light. You know, she talked about the example of going and visiting different caves and how they always have that moment when you get to like the center of the cave and then they shut off all the lights. And she said, you know, they started with like a little candle, and then they started with a little bit more of illumination, and then they went to full power, and then you could just see the beauty of the cave at that point. Because even the full power, it wasn't so blinding that it was just like, oh, you couldn't bear the light. And she made this example, which has really stuck with me. And she said, clearly the neighborhood, they can see clearly the front door to the house. And it's a welcoming, it's a, we've kept the light on for you. It's all good. It's all safe. Come on in. That kind of light that God wants us to share with those in deep darkness. A light that says, you are welcome here. This is safe. We are going to love you. We're going to show you compassion, and we're going to show you mercy. We're going to walk with you along the way. And the point I even want to make is we're going to even leave the light on, and we're going to invite you into our home. We're going to invite you to come and have supper with us. We're going to go and meet you somewhere at a restaurant and have supper with you, even while you are still in your sin. And so I just love that analogy that she gave, that symbolic symbol of the kind of light that Christ was when he walked on the earth. Was he really was a porch light. He showed the love of God in such a warm and welcoming way that he was irresistible. The love of God was irresistible to people. And one of the scriptures that came to my mind was in Mark chapter 1, verse 41, in verse 40, when it says, "A leper came to Jesus, and he was beseeching him, and he was falling on his feet before him, and he was saying, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" And in verse 41, Jesus Christ said, it says he was moved with compassion, and Jesus stretched out his hand, and he touched him, and he said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was clean. He was cleansed. The Holy Spirit has really dealt with my husband and I to the point where 3 years ago I left my job of 13 years at our local community college to go into full-time ministry to minister to women who had had an abortion. And that's what the Lord has allowed us to do, is to come alongside women who have experienced the shame and the guilt and the self-condemnation and even worldly condemnation at times for that act, to take a life of someone who is innocent, to take a life of an unborn child. The Lord has allowed us also to minister, and I did a lot of ministry even through the college as the counselor there, with young people who were struggling with their identity. We live in the Bible Belt. A lot of these kids that attended the community college were raised in a Christian home, maybe even a pastor's home, but they're 19 to 23, 24, 25, and they were struggling with their identity. And so the Lord has allowed me to turn on the porch light, even whenever I was working at the community college, and be able to share the truth of God in a way that was the compassion of God for their struggle, for their deep anguish. Because a lot of these kids had been turned out of their home. Two of the young men that I worked with, when he shared with his parents that he felt like that he was a homosexual, he was 14, and they told him that he could not live at their home anymore. And so when he came to cry out for help, now years later at 19, he had lived on couches of friends for the last couple of years. He had lived in his car. He had lived at the homeless shelter. And so what are you talking about, Rhonda? Why are you telling us this today? Because we are living in a time where dark. Isaiah 61 says that there will be darkness upon the earth and deep darkness upon the people. Deep darkness. It will be like it was in the days of Noah before the returning of the Lord. And we know that in the days of Noah that sin was so rampant. Homosexuality was so rampant. Just greed and just self-love was so rampant. And Christ warned the disciples, it's going to look like that at the end before I come back. And so then what's the word to the church? The word of the church is, I want you to arise and I want you to shine because the glory of God is going to come upon you. And I just wanted to remind us this morning as the church of the living God that the light that we are to shine is not to be like the Pharisee or the Sadducee to say, oh, you should be like me and you're not. Oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like them. You know, the prayer that was prayed in the temple and the humble man and the Pharisee, and the Pharisee's reaching up his voice to the Lord and saying, oh, God, I thank you. I'm not like him, you know, that you've made me great and I know you. But not to be the blinding light of condemnation, but to be the light that says, let me tell you about one that can bring you out of this darkness. You know, whenever I was talking to Devin a little bit last night about the word that God put in my heart, the thought that came to my mind of some blinding lights are what to me, in my own personal opinion, it feels like blinding lights are the people who stand outside an abortion clinic with signs that say you're a murderer, you're killing your baby, yelling and shouting vile things to intimidate and to coerce. To me, that's a blinding light. How come I think that? Because I have visited with several women over the years that was their experience, and the terror that came upon them and the guilt and the condemnation that they felt even as they continued with purpose in their heart to walk in and have an abortion. But then just feeling the weight of that condemnation. We also know of a young lady who participated in the month of June and a gay parade. It was the Pride Parade. It's a national event that takes place every year in June. And there was a huge parade in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And they were participating in this. And this was a young lady that we love dearly. And she is really struggling with her identity. And so we were praying as our church began to pray for her protection and her safety, as we knew that she would be walking in this parade in a way that she felt like that she was trying to take pride in who she felt like she was trying to figure out who she was. And I knew that there would be protesters, and I knew that there would be people there because there just always is. And so with compassion, we began to pray that she would be protected from just evil. And you might be thinking, you know, why would you pray for her protection when she is participating in evil itself? Because that is the love and the compassion of God, that he loves this person and he wants to draw this person out of that confusion and out of that deception. But it doesn't, being screamed at and yelled at is not going to be the answer. And so later on that day, we called this person and asked her, you know, how was the parade and are you okay? And she said, you know, there was a lot of just people yelling and screaming at us, you know, hateful things. God hates fags. God, you know, you're going to hell. You're going to burn forever. And she said it got really scary for a little while because this person's only 19. And she said, but we just kept walking. What are you saying this to us this morning on a beautiful July morning? You're going really deep and you're going really heavy, Rhonda. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is going deep. I believe the Holy Spirit is going heavy with His glory. I believe the Holy Spirit is raising up a church, a bride that looks like Him and feels like Him and thinks like Him and walks along the side of people in darkness and says, I am willing that you would be cleansed. I'm willing to touch you, you leper, you whatever sin you want to put on it that we feel like, you know. And I picked that scripture. I feel like the Holy Spirit gave me that scripture on purpose, because in that day and age, no one wanted to touch a leper. They had to live outside the city. They had to live away from the other people, because they could contaminate you and you could get what they had. And sometimes I believe when we don't know who we fully are in Christ, we think if we start ministering to someone who is in a homosexual lifestyle that we might get what they have. Or ministering to someone who is in addiction, or ministering to someone who is in a sin that we might not fully understand. But I'm here to tell you that when you know who you are in Christ, there is no fear of that. You can reach out and you can touch and you can say, you know, the Lord loves you and He wants to deliver you from this life, from this agony and pain that you're experiencing. You know, Delvin and I, a friend of ours, gave us this book, and it is called The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. It is a story about how a lesbian came to know the love of God through a pastor in her town. And this is a lady who worked at the University of Syracuse. She was highly intellectual. She had gotten tenure at the University of Syracuse in her early 30s. She was the youngest person to ever get tenure at that age. She wrote all kinds of articles and books, and she traveled to Harvard and to Yale, and she gave speeches on basically just, I'm trying to think of one of the titles, but just on homosexuality and those kind of things. And she was a coveted speaker. And she had written an article in a newspaper right after she had attended a Promise Keepers. She had watched a Promise Keepers meeting, and it roused her up as a feminist to think that that they were being gender biased and that they were basically putting down women and putting down just putting down women. So she wrote an article in her local newspaper about her thoughts about Promise Keepers. And she received tons of hate mail and tons of, you know, good mail, like pro, go for it, woman. You know what you're talking about. And then tons of just hate mail from a lot of Christian people in that community. And so, but there was one pastor in that community that wrote her a letter and just basically asked her two or three simple questions, just to kind of get to know her and to get to know why she felt the way she felt and if she even believed in God. And she said, I kept that letter on my desk. She said there were so many letters that came in that she had to get two empty Xerox boxes, one on each side of her desk, one for hate mail and one for pro mail. But the letter that he wrote sat on her desk. And every day it would haunt her, she said, because here's a man that was... she could tell with compassion, questioning her article, but in a way that made her think. And so finally, after a week, she couldn't take it any longer, and she reached out and she called this man, and she began to have a dialogue with him. And what that looked like is then, over a period of several years, him and his wife inviting her to their table, inviting her to come and sit with them and to dialogue. You know, the scripture that comes to my mind is in the Old Testament that says, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be made white as snow. They begin to share their life with her. She just talks about the whole feeling of intimidation the first night, standing on their porch door, wondering if these are going to be like Christians that she had seen so many times before. And she kept waiting for the hammer to fall during the dinner time. And she was on edge the whole time like she was going to have to really defend herself, but they just loved her and just talked to her. And that grew into a relationship where several years down the road, she finally surrendered her life to the Lord and she gave her heart to the Lord, and she's married and she has a family now. It's a beautiful book, The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert by Rosaria Butterfield. And we've been reading this book, and the compassion that this minister and his wife had for her to share their life with her. It wasn't, and she uses this example in her book, it wasn't like a used car salesman trying to bring salvation to her. It was like a porch light. You're welcome in our home, and you're welcome to share our life as we walk down this journey together. You know, I've heard Pastor Dale say this many a time. There's no trouble like trouble that comes to your house. There's no pain like the pain that meets you at your house. And I think one of the things that the Spirit of the Lord is doing in this last season is that he's moving in such a way to open the eyes of the church by bringing some things to your house that you would have never thought would ever come to your house. I think of, I read about a year ago an article from the mother, it was in Charisma Magazine, of the mother of Katy Perry. And I don't know how many of you know this or not, but, and you might not even know who Katy Perry is. She might be, you know, a different generation than those that are listening, but Katy Perry is a pop culture phenomenon. She's known worldwide for her music. An entertainer, but she was raised in a home of ministers, and if I believe right, Assemblies of God pastors. And there was an article that Charisma did with her mom about a year or so ago, asking her how they handled all of that, because Katy Perry is very sexual and seductive in her videos and in her music. And her mom talked about how when all that began to start happening, because Katy grew up singing in the church, how there's a lot of people in the church that began to be like Job's friends to them, questioning why this had happened to their daughter and how she could go into such a lifestyle being raised in such a home. And she said, and so just a lot of accusations and a lot of persecutions that they experienced. But along the way, she said, you know, we just learned to turn her, take them to hell. That they would begin to pray that she would have divine appointments and divine connections, that there would be someone, you know, put in her life that would show her the love of God and have compassion. And that's what you do whenever it's your own, when it comes to your own home. And so I just wanted to remind us as the church today that there are people in deep darkness, but God wants us to walk with them and turn on our porch light and say, you know, you're welcome in my life. The people that I have ministered to and the friends that I have known that have come out of a homosexual lifestyle, it did not happen in a month. It did not happen in a year. You know, you cannot live 14 years in a lifestyle and in 5 seconds that be all changed. Salvation can come to you in a moment, but the transformation of your thinking and of your mind and the things in your soul, that is a progression. And you know that all too well, because think about how long it took you to look more and more like Christ after you gave your heart to him. And so what that looks like is being able to come alongside someone for maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years before they're ready to give their heart to Jesus, before they're ready to really trust in him. We're talking about going the distance. You know, Isaiah 53:6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray, and each of us has turned to our own way. But in 1 Peter 2:25, he reminds us that Jesus took and bore our iniquities. Because he knew, as the good shepherd, that people would go their own way. And they would believe the lie and they would believe the deception. But see, God's love is, you know, we started with the song, he's reckless. And not in a, you know, so, you know, sometimes you think of the word reckless and you think he doesn't know what he's doing. But no, it's like, I will climb any mountain to get to you. I will cross any ocean to get to you. That is the all-consuming love of God, that he can go into the deepest and darkest places and he can capture a soul and he can set a soul set free. And he's looking for men and women. He's looking for a generation of people who will have that kind of love that they would be willing to touch what we might think is unclean or untouchable. And he was our great example. And I want to share this, and then we're going to play a song, and then I'm going to pray. The greatest example of love that I've seen in a long time was several years ago. It was probably about 10 years ago. We had a revival in our church, and this man came, and it was standing room only every single night because this man operated in such an anointing of the love of God. And one of the evenings, there was a man, we had never seen him before, but he had heard about the revival, and he came as a visitor, and he was standing in the back. And as the minister got, the evangelist got up to preach, he was preaching for about 5 or 10 minutes, and he finally just had to stop. And he said, you know, I'm just going to have to stop because the Holy Spirit wants me to do something. So just everyone just wait here for a minute. And he walked all the way to the back, and there were several people, probably about 20 people, that were having to stand because it was so crowded in our church. And he walked right up to this man, and we all turned to see what he was doing because we didn't know what was happening. And so the whole congregation of probably more than 100 and 125 people were looking at this man that he had walked up to. And this man looked like he weighed about 98 pounds. He was completely jaundiced. Most of his hair had fallen out, and I remember visiting with him after the service. His breath smelled literally like death. The odor was so intense. But the evangelist walked right up to him, and he looked at him, and he said, "Sir, would it be okay if I gave you a hug?" And this man, who looked like he was in his late 50s, began to weep. And he said, "Oh, no, sir, you do not want to touch me. I have AIDS." And the evangelist looked at him and smiled. He goes, "Oh, no, I want to hug you." And he said, "And I'm going to tell you, it is not me, but it is the Christ. It is the Jesus. It is the love of God in me that wants to reach out and hug you. And if it's okay with you, I would really like to hug you." And the man began to weep all the more. And he said, "Okay." And the evangelist reached out and hugged him and held him for about a minute, maybe two. It seemed like forever. And the man just wept and wept and wept as the evangelist just stood there and held him. And when they got done holding each other, the man looked at him and he said, "This is the first time anyone has touched me in 6 months." And he wept and wept, and he gave his heart to Jesus that night. And the Lord healed him of AIDS that night. And we watched over the next 2 or 3 nights of the service, this man come in and all of the jaundice leave his body, and him strength coming back into his body, and a smile on his mouth, on his face, and the odor in his breath had gone. And 6 months later, Devin and I are driving down the road, and we look over, and here is this same man walking down the street. He is walking with a full stride, and he was still completely healed. That is the power of a church doing the deeds of love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, I want to play this song, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation. And so we're just going to go straight to the song, "To the Table" by Zach Williams.
You keep standing at a distance in the shadow of your shame. There's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place and bring it all to the table? Nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness,
is a savior and he calls, bring it all to the table. He can't see the weight you carry, the fears that hold your heart. But through the cross you've been forgiven, you're accepted as you are. So bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your trials, all your worries and your burdens, there's a Savior and he calls, bring it all to the table.
Bring it all. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you and we thank you for the greatness of your mercy. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who walks along with us in our life, that you sent the Holy Spirit to be our friend, to be our comforter, and that he wanted to do life with us. Lord, I praise you that, Lord, that you are moving upon the body of Christ to take that same Holy Spirit that has been such a gift and gifted to us and to share the love of Christ with those around us that are in darkness. That, Lord, that we can do what the Holy Spirit did for Jesus, and that is to walk and do life with us. And so, Lord, may we have the courage and the bravery and the love and the empathy and the compassion of Jesus Christ, Lord, to walk alongside and do life with those that are in darkness so that, Lord, that they might have life and they might have the same gift of the Holy Spirit to walk and have life abundantly. And so, Lord, I just thank you for the work that you're doing in your bride, that you're making her so beautiful by making her look just like you and love just like you. If there's anyone who is listening under the sound of my voice this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but while you've been listening, the Holy Spirit has been drawing you and saying to you, I love you and I want to do life with you. I want to have a personal relationship with you. And it is because of Jesus Christ and his blood and his sacrifice on Calvary that cleanses us and makes us clean. Just like he reached out and he touched the leper, and it was the hand of Jesus that touched him and made him whole. It is that same hand he is still extending all the way down to July of 2018. Jesus's hand is still reaching out and saying, I am willing. If you will receive me, I will come in and I will make your life new. And so if that is you and you want to give your heart to the Lord, just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for loving me and sending your Son Jesus to redeem me. I believe in my heart and I now confess with my lips that Jesus Christ is God Himself. Come to this earth to save me. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, and is alive at the right hand of God today. And just say this, dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins as I repent of them now, and I proclaim you as my Savior and Lord. And from this moment forward, with your help, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if that was you and you prayed that prayer with me, I would encourage you just to spend a few moments here this morning with the Lord and let him just pull up in your heart all those different things that you want him to just cleanse and redeem you. I remember when I gave my heart to the Lord, I knelt at the altar, and all these things that I had done that I knew that were against His word, I just began to name them and say, God, please forgive me for this and for this and for this. And He
to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wonderful word, Rhonda. It's time for us to give you the opportunity to give to the Lord's work. You know, God said that he promised us that when we would obey Him and our tithes and offerings, that He would pour out blessings on us that we couldn't even contain. And so today we want to give you the opportunity here at Breakout Radio Church to support this ministry and this weekly broadcast where we share the Word of God with you through our tithes and offerings. So there are a couple of ways to do that. As we get ready to pray for our tithes and offerings, let me give you this information. You can send a check to Breakout Ministries. That's P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas 78709. Again, that's Breakout Ministries, P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas 78709. Or you can use PayPal, your credit card or debit card, by going to bpnradio.com and clicking on the donate button at the top. It's very simple to do, and you can donate there and give your tithes and offerings today here at Breakout Radio Church. Let's pray for our offering. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the love you have shown to us. And so, God, today as we bring our tithes and offerings to you today, we pray, God, that you would use it for your glory, God. Not, Lord, to lift up a ministry, not, Lord, to lift up a person, but God, to accomplish your purposes in this earth. God, we just thank you for these things. Bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Rhonda, we've got some prayer needs that we want to take before the Lord today. Let's do that right now.
Father, we just lift up Jenna Long to you this morning and her family, as her father has died this past week. And so, Father God, I just thank you that you are with Jenna, that, Lord, you are present with her during this time of sorrow, this time of loss. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would wrap your arms of love around Jenna and around her family like a warm blanket, that, Lord, you would just soothe and comfort their hearts, Lord, and give them strength, Lord, to walk through the days that are ahead, Lord. I thank you for your strength, and I thank you for your compassion that is upon Jenna and her family, in Jesus' name. We pray for Donald and Janice Brown as they prepare to minister in Malawi, Africa. Father God, I plead the precious blood of Jesus over Donald and over his wife, Janice.
Yes, Lord.
As they are preparing to answer, Lord, your call, as they're preparing to do what you've put in their heart to do. And so, Father God, I just come against any kind of delay, any kind of hindrance or barrier in Jesus' name. And Father, I just release the anointing of the Holy Ghost to bring them to Malawi on time, to bring them there in strength, to bring them there in health, in the name of Jesus. And I declare, Father God, that no weapon that would try to be formed against them would prosper. And Father, I thank you for the love and the compassion that you have put in their heart, Lord, for them to go. And so, Lord, I pray that they, as they go, that those that you will have them to carry, the ministry that you will put upon their shoulders to carry, and the people that they will meet and that they will carry their burdens and walk alongside them and do life with them. God, I'm asking in Jesus' name, like whenever you left the 99 to find the one and you picked up that sheep and you put him on your shoulders and you said that you carried him with joy. May Donald and Janice carry this ministry and the heart for Africa with joy in
Hallelujah.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for Tiffany and Isabel and James concerning their jobs. Father, I thank you that every part of our life you are interested in, and you want to show yourself strong, and you want to do marvelous, wonderful things that we could not even have ever thought or imagined. So, Lord, I pray for divine appointments and divine connections for Tiffany and Isabel and James in the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I pray, Lord God, that you would do exceedingly abundantly above what they have even thought or asked regarding their employment in the name of Jesus. So I speak favor. I speak favor over Tiffany and Isabel and James. Lord, we pray for Carolyn and DeLeon's brother, Ron DeLeon. He's recovering from an auto accident. Father, I just speak resurrection power, resurrection life to come upon Ron DeLeon in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking that you would raise him up and make him ever wit whole. That's King James prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name, completely whole. And Lord, we just continue to pray for Matthew and Tammy Logan's grandsons, Logan and Colton, as they continue to recover. It's been about more than a month now that they were injured in a car accident in Alabama. And so, Father God, we set ourselves in agreement for a complete healing, for total restoration.
Yes.
Lord, complete restoration of Logan and Colton. God, we just pray a hedge of protection around the grandparents and around the mother and around the father and all the family members that are being touched by their being in the hospital and by this car accident. God, I just, in Jesus' name, I just ask that the love of God would be so overwhelming that, God, that you would just constantly, continually cast out fear, cast out anxiety, cast out, Lord, those things that even sometimes the report of the doctor. Lord, we're asking for your love to take care of Logan and Colton in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Lord, I lift up Anita Rogers to you this morning, and I'm asking again, Father God, that your love would raise her up. Lord, that no matter what the report might be from the world, the report of the Lord is that, Lord, that she all is well. And so, Lord, again, I just set myself in agreement with the word that you gave, that, God, that there would be a joy that would come out of her mouth, and that, Lord, that you were bringing the whole family through to redemption. The whole family was coming out. And so I just continue to speak that word in Jesus' name, that, Lord, that Anita Rogers is coming out from this sickness. She's coming out, Father God, with a shout. El Yarobo Oshadabasi Arrividiki Bako Rabadekite. I release the anointing of the Holy Ghost to come upon Anita right now in the name of Jesus. Wholeness and health by the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have a note here. We want to congratulate Bernadine Wood on her new promotion as a budget director at Abilene University. She is a friend of mine, and I didn't even realize that you got promoted, Bernadine, but congratulations. And Lord, we just bless Bernadine in this new position.
Amen.
And Lord, just continued favor upon her and continued wisdom. Lord, that you would just, you're going to do this job with her, that she is not alone as the budget director. That is a huge responsibility, but I thank you, God, that you found her worthy and that, Lord, that she is going to trust you every day of this new job. And, Lord, she is going to be amazed at, Lord, the wisdom and, Lord, just the peace that you're going to give her in Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Wow, that's awesome. God is so good. He just blesses us. He just pours out his blessings on us. Amen. Amen. Wow, what a great time we've had today here on Breakout Radio Church. This has been a pleasure for Rhonda and I to fill in for Pastor Dale and Sister Jean. Miss America is what he calls her, and it's true. She's a wonderful lady. They're going to be back next week for Breakout Radio Church, and that will be exciting. Remember, you can hear this program again at 10 o'clock this morning. And then it will replay at various times throughout the week as well. You can tune in to Breakout Radio Church. So if there's someone that you know of that the Lord's telling you they need to hear that message Rhonda gave this morning, tell them about Breakout Radio Church and bpnradio.com and get them to listen. If you have to, take your smartphone with them and make a lunch date and listen to the program together and see what God will do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's exciting. Any final thoughts here, Rhonda?
I just want to encourage you, as the Church of the Living God, as the Bride of Christ, to let Him have His way in your heart and not be afraid of where He will take you. Because wherever He takes you, His promise is, I will go with you. And so I think of it as an adventure. God, where are you going to take me today?
Yeah.
Who are we going to meet today? Who are you going to save? Who are you going to heal? Who are you going to set free today? And just enjoy the journey with Him. There's just souls that are going to be saved because we're going to go wherever He tells us to go. And we're going to love like He would love.
Amen. Well, we're done for Breakout Radio Church. God bless everyone for listening. Remember, listen throughout the week, and we will... Our Brother Dale will see you next Sunday on Breakout Radio Church. Have a great Sunday, everyone.
This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.